Washington, D.C. She was initiated by Srila Prabhupada at the age of, I believe, at 16 years old.
I was 20.
You were that?
I was 20. I got
you were 20.
When I was 18.
Okay. All right. She was 20 years old. But, and you wouldn't believe when that was. In 1972. And I mean, she looks like she's 20 years old right now. So in 1972, she was initiated. It was a very special occasion. It was Radhastami in Dallas, Texas. And she was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and there were five other members of the family that actually took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And how many of us have ever taken initiation with five family members on one occasion? That's absolutely amazing. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the special person that we have that's sitting before us. She has been acknowledged for her service, as well as her husband, Tariq Prabhu, in the Cleveland area for many years. She has conducted what was called the Lord Have Mercy Festival, and that was conducted over a course of 12 years. There were many different persons from other religious orientations that were represented, and in that area, she was they were recognized for bringing all groups together. And they were recognized in such a way that they were featured in a magazine called, a book actually called, Cleveland Couples, and she was on they were on the couple on the cover of that magazine. She was recognized, she received the Unity Award by that organization in the Cleveland area. And I just have to share this one thing. Tariq Prabhu had mentioned something, and it reminded me that, you know, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he always used to speak about Krishnandini and Tariq and their marriage and how exemplary they are as grihasthas. And on one occasion, he was speaking in Detroit, and Tariq was just sharing with me. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj acknowledged Krishnandini and said that she is the leader of what's called the Grihastha Vision Team. And they said, "What is this Grihastha Vision Team?" And Tariq asked her, "What is this Grihastha Vision Team?" And then again in Cleveland, he said, "She is the chairman of the Grihastha Vision Team." And Tariq asked her, what is this?" And Krishnandini said, "I have no idea what he's talking about." At the same time, as we heard today, Tamahar Prabhu was expressing that she is the inspiration behind the Grihastha Vision Team in ISKCON. And that is because they are examples of what is given through the Grihastha Vision Team. And so we are most grateful that they are here, and it's most appropriate that they share something with us on how to have Krishna consciousness in our marriages. So thank you very much. Krishnandini and Tariq Prabhu ki jai.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Okay. So thank you all for braving the heat and being a part of this seminar that we are calling Healthy Marriages, Happy Families, Strong ISKCON. Healthy Marriages, Happy Families, Strong ISKCON. And we've passed everybody a card and an ink pen, and we'll tell you how to use that later. So right now we're going to start, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by reading a verse from the Gita and introduce that with Jaya Radha Madhava to get some divine strength here. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Givardhari. Jaya Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Shivaradari Jaya. Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Randana. Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya. Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Randana. Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So I'm reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 5. And I'll just read it all the way through the Sanskrit translation and purport. Yajna dana tapah karma natiya yam karyam eva tat. Yajna danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Translation. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Swami Prabhupada. The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yajna. Should a sannyasi who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind to become peaceful, for spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha Yajna should be encouraged even by persons in the renounced order of life. Sannyasis should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity is for purification of the heart. If charity is given to a suitable person, as described previously, it leads one to advanced spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you, Radha Duti. So, our seminar today is called Healthy Marriages, Happy Families, Strong ISKCON. Let everybody say that. Healthy marriages.
Healthy marriages.
Happy families.
Happy families.
Strong ISKCON.
Strong ISKCON.
So, you know, in the beginning, in the early days, we didn't have a clue what that meant. And we kind of got things discombobulated a little bit. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who wanted us to get things right so that we can be happy and healthy, we're now appreciating the power and the purity and the potency of healthy marriages. In fact, our view is that the future of ISKCON depends on how it develops, nurtures, and sustains healthy marriages. This is the whole future right here. Because you have to start from the seed of anything. And if the seed is shaky or dry or not very good, then the plant itself won't be. And the seed of our spiritual communities are families. And the seed of our families are marriages. So we have to realize that this is a very important ashram. From this ashram comes the brahmacharis and the vanaprastas and the sannyasis and other grahastas. If this ashram is weak, if it's sick, what are we going to produce? We're going to produce weak, sick, other ashrams. So it's very important. The power of the grahastha ashram is very, very important. And it's actually a place, by the grace of the Lord, that we can become pure devotees. Sometimes we don't think of it like that. But in a marriage, you have to learn tolerance and humility and respect, all the qualities. You know, sometimes I used to wonder, I would say, Lord, why do you let me go through certain things? But I know why. It's because the Lord knows that every single thing that happens to me, I'm going to use it as an example. So just before we left coming here, we had a little family emergency. And I was like too through. I just wanted to get on this husband, right? And then the Lord said, take a deep breath. This is your husband. You're going to work with him. He's worked with you. And sure enough, because of me following the Lord in the heart, we had the most pleasant trip here. But it's good to know that even so-called seasoned veterans in marriage, we have our issues and our trials where we have to bring forth the qualities that we tell you about. You know, we have to be tolerant. We have to be appreciative. We have to remember all the good times when it doesn't look so good. And we have to thank the Lord that He really has, for the most part, given us an excellent mate who's helping us to be fine-tuned. That's really what your spouse does, fine-tunes you for the service of Krishna. You should always thank your spouse. They help you to do all, you know, corrections and adjustments. So, yeah, it's really true. So Prabhupada says, our Krishna is of great family personality. Now you think about this. He says, Krishna is never a mendicant. In other words, a beggar. Krishna is always surrounded by people and associates. And he said, our ambition is to enter into Krishna's family. That's our ultimate goal. And so Prabhupada said, enter into Krishna's family and associate with Krishna personally So to marry and become an exemplary householder is the ideal life of Krishna consciousness. Ideal. To marry, right, and to become an exemplary householder is the ideal life of Krishna consciousness. Very important. Don't forget that thought. So we in the Grass Division team, we have taken this motto, Healthy Marriages, Happy Families, Strong ISKCON. And we've, His Holiness Ramaphat Swami is talking about the petals of the lotus. And so, of course, we know that the marriage ashram is one of the petals, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four of those petals, because it has the children, it has so many different aspects to it. So what is a real Krishna conscious marriage? I'd like you all to answer that question. It's not rhetorical. What is it? Anybody? First, while you're thinking with this really clever answer, how many of you are married or about to get married or would like to be married? Why don't I see the men's hands? So mostly everybody in the room. Okay. I want you all to remember that Prabhupada said, so to marry and become an exemplary householder is the ideal life of Krishna consciousness. Don't forget that. So now, what is a Krishna conscious marriage? What is a God, what does grahastha really mean? I'm going to pick on my young friend here. I'm not as nice as Raja Leela. I help people volunteer. All right, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So it's a deep, lifelong commitment in a relationship to assist each other in service to Guru and Krishna and help each other spiritually progress and have a lot of fun while you're at it.
Very good. Very nice. See, that's why I had to ask you. Having fun while you're at it. Don't forget that part. Not just the drudgery. Oh, I got to finish this marriage, and then when I'm 50, I'm going to take, sannyas. No, that's not, you don't get benefit thinking like that. You don't. And whatever we do, we want to get benefit, spiritual benefit. So we think, Krishna has given me this opportunity to care for his parts and parcels. And I am going to do it the best I can, to the best of my ability, because this wife, this child, this husband, they belong to Krishna. They're not mine. And Krishna has entrusted me with them. I'm telling you, that's a very deep realization. Most of you all know that we have a lot of children. We have 19 children among us. And I've given birth to 10 children. And almost, I am so grateful. Between us, mind you, we have 19 children between us. Okay. And so we've been married almost 25 years. Thank you, Tariq. But anyway, how to raise those children had to be really a very hard thing. You know, you're trying to raise your children for Krishna in a very foreign, alien world. And every single moment for me was like surrender. Like, Lord, these are your children. What do I do? What do I say? You know, like that. So it caused a lot of surrender. Just acknowledging and begging for mercy and guidance like that. And the Lord helps those who call on him. So, you know, for that reason, you know, I'm grateful to Srila Prabhupada, because he told us to call on Krishna. He's our best friend. So in the Grahastha Division team, we have seeing that if we actually implement this verse that Lord Chaitanya gave us, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroapi Sahisnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. When Prabhupada was sharing with some of his god brothers that he was coming to America, and they said, oh my God, you're going over there with the malechas and the crazy people, and you're going to make people Brahmins? How will you do that? And Prabhupada was firmly convicted. Prabhupada was firmly assured, firmly confident that Lord Chaitanya's message would save us, and that if he shared that message purely, people would become purified, reconnect to God, and be happy. He was so convinced of that. And because Prabhupada is convinced, that convinced us. So he said, I will give them this verse, Chanadapi Sunichena, to wear as a garland around their neck. One of the retreats that we did as a grass division team, we made necklaces so that the husband and wife could wear half, you know, Chanadapi Sunichena, and then he wear Chanadapi Sunichena. So we won't forget that in order for us to have fun doing this thing, we need to be humble and tolerant and kind. Because really, one a newspaper, a teller reporter, she's married to a person in a different religion, and they asked her, what was the secret for your healthy marriage? And she said, healthy marriage is a contest of generosity. Who can be the most generous? Who can give the most? See, we don't think like that. But if we did, we would be happier. We would be stronger. We would become more empowered. Like, we should be in competition to outserve our spouse, to outmake them happy. A contest of generosity. That's the real competition amongst the devotees. And that really follows on what Mother Rajalila said. That was a perfect presentation. Because this idea of devotee care and affection, it has to start with us. You know, we can't say, well, if the leaders showed us more care, or if the teachers showed us more, and they should, but what if they don't? Are we going to finish our whole Krishna conscious life in misery because somebody didn't do what they should do? No. Then we take up the banner. We take up the banner to be caring, to be kind, to be generous. And I guarantee you that that will not be met without appreciation from Krishna and Prabhupada. That you will get some internal realizations and guidance and empowerment because of that mood that you're taking up, that Chanadapi. So we took the word Chanadapi and we said T was for tolerance, R is for respect, N is for natural living, A is for appreciation, D is for devotion and dedication, a P, acceptance, P, purity, and I, intelligence. We got to use our intelligence how to be kind to one another, how to please the guru in our relationships. That takes intelligence to figure it out. So, Mr. Tariq Salim Zed, we'll go on with the next. Yes. I think they gave you a mic, too.
So the Chanadapi marriage model. So when we practice these keys to successful relationships, they will help us stay with our core self. We want to get to the self that is inclined toward Krishna, the self that is inclined toward our spouse, the self that's inclined toward our children, the self that's inclined toward the larger community, so that we get to that core self. So it will keep us more connected to Krishna, and we will feel happier and more fulfilled as a person, because you can feel and sense that when you start connecting with somebody or even a purpose in life. When we are consciously practicing the behaviors, we are more fulfilled as a person, as I said. We can accelerate our progress when we feel that connection. It's like going downhill. You pick up speed. However, you just pick up that speed, and that wind comes past your face, and you say, "Wow, this is great." Of course, you don't want it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I can't hear.
I got to get a little closer like that. All right, that's why you tried to help me. You see, sometimes people try to help you, and how you don't get the cues. So we want to consciously practice behaviors that help us accelerate our progress, help us have a love for our progress. So marriage is a wonderful opportunity to give us an opportunity to practice humility, give us an opportunity to practice tolerance, and give us an opportunity to practice respect. And that's what we're all looking for, right? An opportunity to become more God conscious.
So humility, a lot of times people say, well, Mother Krishna Nandini, how does one be humble? And of course we know that through chanting Hare Krishna, just obeying that one instruction consistently is very helpful. But here are a few other tips. So humility, to help us with that, just realize that there are millions of bits of information streaming into our consciousness all the time, through our senses, through our eyes, through our ears. And we can only attend to a small portion, a small percent of what's coming to us. How much do we actually know? Like sometimes we get angry with someone because we have a little bit of information when there's a lot more that should go with that. So recognize, always kind of be in a state of recognizing that my senses are really limited. I may not know all the answers. And I'm imperfect. That's okay for us to start at that place. Then to acknowledge that we make mistakes. How many of you, be honest, will acknowledge when you make a mistake? Very good. Very good progress. I'm still working on that. But it's very, very good to be able to do that. And then instead of everybody said, well, I just want you to understand me. But really, the key to healthier relationships is first to understand, seek to understand, and then be understood. Understand what your spouse is saying. Understand what your child is saying. Understand what your devotee's friends are saying. And then seek to be understood. Listen attentively. We have an exercise that we call reflective listening, and it's really such a powerful, simple tool, but it takes a lot because most of the time we're eager to help have someone finish what they're saying so we can tell our view and tell our what we got to say, what we want. I mean, it's not what you're saying. I know, but what I'm saying is what counts. So as Roger Leela was saying in her presentation, we want to take time to really listen to each other. It's a very powerful key. Offer obeisances. When we first became devotees, Prabhupada had us offering obeisances all the time. Every time we saw a devotee, we fall down flat. Every time we entered the room, wherever we were. And it was so good for us because that ego went down a little bit. You know, we would offer obeisances maybe 24, 25, 26 times a day in the beginning. And then focus on the good things, the good qualities in your spouse and others. And as I was saying just before we left, we had this little emergency, which could have been a big emergency. But then when I got ready to be upset, I started thinking about how much this gentleman sitting next to me has supported me, has encouraged me, has cared for me, has tolerated me. You know, we always think, oh, I'm easy to get along, but I'm kind of intense. You know, and Tariq has put up with that intensity. So that made me really appreciate him more. Then express appreciation and gratitude to your spouse and others. We have a daily exercise where we ask people to, every day, tell your spouse at least one thing that you appreciate about them. At least one thing. And that's sometimes hard to do because we're quick to say the negative, what didn't go right, what went wrong. But just say that one thing that went right or that one thing that you appreciate. And that's a very powerful thing. And then practice forgiveness and letting go of resentment. We have a workshop about forgiveness that would take a while. But the essence is that we're all going to do something or say something to hurt someone, and we may not mean it. It's just the nature of the world that we live in, of our conditioning, of whatever. So to be able to forgive and be forgiving. And when you do something to someone, don't just say, I'm sorry, and expect that to be a healer, because it is not. If you apologize from your heart, and you say, I'm sorry I called you out of your name. Well, whatever you did, that was wrong because I promised to honor and respect you. In the future, I will think twice and try to say more positive things and then say, will you forgive me? It's a process to that whole apology thing. I'm sorry I did, and state what you did. Very important. Then tell why it was wrong. Then you say, in the future, I will. So you try to give some positive spin on what your intentions are for the future. And then you say, will you forgive me? And guess what? If they don't forgive you, don't get upset. Don't get angry. Get time. You've done from your heart what you should do. Sometimes forgiveness takes a little bit. But that is generally the process.
So we have a few words to consider a little bit more. Tolerance, appreciation, humility, and respect. A note to think about. 70% of marital disagreements are not solvable, but are managed. What's he talking about? Some of the successful marriages can admit to you that they've had quite a lot of disagreements that have never been solved. Well, how do you stay together so long? Because we accept the things that can't be changed and change the things that can. You know, you appreciate the other 30%. You see, there's the word tolerant and appreciation. So within that tolerating someone, oh, you're getting on my nerves, to appreciating where they are now, appreciating what good have come and what good is possibly going to come in the future. We can choose to live a life of expectation, positive expectation. We can choose that. You know how some people go through their life and they just have this gloomy outlook on life. And it's like, oh, something bad's going to happen, something bad going to happen. And so they predict it. It happens. So why don't we reverse that and something good's going to happen, something good's going to happen, and predict it and let it happen and appreciate it when it happens. So a lot of the appreciations that we can have in our life can be from our spouses. So, yes, there's some bad things that can happen, like leaving the faucet on while trying to do a little 10-cent item. I won't even tell you what it was. And the faucet runs over, run down to the second floor, run down to the first floor. And we're supposed to be leaving that day. And the whole ceiling is about to fall down. You know? And it's just something little simple, something that could have been left to next week or never. And but then, you know, she counted up, got a, you know, all these bad things, but oh, all these good things. So she forgave me. So we want to accept things that can't be changed, but in such a way that is connected with what we do appreciate about our spouses. And we want to so there's some things. We want to believe in your partner's sincerity to be the best person they can be. This we have a lot of difficulty with in working with couples, because we tend to be concerned with our concern, and we forget our partner has concerns too, not only about us, but about themselves and about how they can manage in the rest of the world. So when we are thinking about our partners, look at them like, how can I serve you? So some of it may be obvious and they can voice, and some of it may be still hidden or unknown and it'll come out in the future. But if you keep the mood of how can I serve you, assist you to have a good experience with life, primarily, you know, not the times that you let the water overflow. So I think I'll stop there.
Okay. So right now, whenever we generally do a seminar workshop, we actually put people to work. So I hope you all don't mind. We're going to ask you to divide in groups of six, We're going to give you a quotation from Srila Prabhupada about marriage or relationships. And we're going to ask you to come up with one practical, realistic example that demonstrates what Prabhupada is saying. So it's going to require a little teamwork and a little thoughtfulness, but we want you all to do that. And we'll ask So you're going to divide in groups of six men, six women. And give each one of these. And Prabhu, can you come and give this to the ladies?
So your review...
I think you need one more.
Your review, the Prabhupada quotation, yeah. Right, that you have, and make sure that you're on a common understanding of what it's saying, and then decide amongst you what it is.
You're going to decide amongst you one practical expression, one thing that could demonstrate that quote, either between a husband and wife or a parent and a child. You're going to actually come up with a scenario that would demonstrate that quote. Is everybody clear? Okay.
So keep in mind that you don't have all the rest of the afternoon to accomplish this. So you want to take about, see if you can do it in about 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And let us know when you're ready.
All right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, so we're going to let this, the Lakshmi group over here share their scenario. Who's the spokesperson, or how are y'all doing it? Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay, come on. Okay. So first, well, actually, do your scenario and then read the quote. Okay.
After.
Okay.
Okay. First.
Okay. So. This can sort of turn sideways. Okay. You are past the mic.
You want to sit down?
She didn't have to sit.
Hare Krishna. My God, this back pain is too much. Oh my God, Krishna. You're here, Krishna. God. 3 days. Prabhu, you didn't even take a look at how your wife is doing. I'm so sick.
What? What I was saying?
Oh, you're back from work?
From home today because you are sick.
What? I'm sick and you're working from home?
Yes. I'm downstairs.
You're downstairs. You're downstairs. And upstairs there's your wife who is sick and the whole community knows. What's
Lacharuba, I'm well aware of the fact that you are sick. That's why I'm working from home. But I have this huge project right now. And you know my work is hectic. And my co-workers, this is really too much. I didn't expect this when I got married to you. I thought you would really, you said that you will take care of me, and then what is this? I know you're working and all that, but I need someone to be next to me. I can go to work too if you want me to, but this is too much. Anyway, do you have like maybe 5 minutes? No. Prabhu, Prabhu, what, so you haven't finished your rounds?
Yes, I still have 10 rounds.
Come on, I mean, you woke up early in the morning at 3:30. Were you sleeping while you were chanting? What were you doing? Okay, anyway, you are part and parcel of Krishna, right? I know, you're also sick, you're troubled. I know it's hard for you. Maybe I should just calm down a little bit and let you do your chanting, because when you don't chant, I know how you feel, and you can't take it. I know how important is your sadhana for you. Okay, Krishna, I'm going to accept that this is the situation that you're giving to me so that I can become your devotee and I can assist in some little ways for my husband to also become your devotee. So I'm going to just go retire, just like relax and read Bhagavatam. Maybe that's the only shelter I've always found anyway, but yeah. So, Prabhu, do you think today is like Tuesday, do you think sometime this week we'll have like 15 minutes to just go over? I just want to talk to you, I think. I just want to share some things, and would you be able to just take 15 minutes sometime this weekend? Is it possible?
Yes, sure. I should probably chant my rounds and cool myself down, and then we can talk.
Okay, maybe tomorrow when you get up, if I'm well, I'll get up and chant with you. Maybe that's something that would help us, right? Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm sure Maharaj will be happy, because otherwise we are constantly struggling and it's so hard for everyone to see too, right? Yeah. So, and we learned so many things from the last couple's retreat. So let's just go over that a little bit, okay? Thank you. Yeah.
I would say they got some Krishna points for that.
So the scenario we got was, if a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, they will both benefit because Krishna is the center of their existence. Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 19, purport.
Okay, that's fine. Hare Krishna devotees, the principle that was given to us is for the wife to, for the husband not to consider the wife as a burden, and be faithful, be cooperative. So we were remembering one of the examples that we heard from our Bhakti Vuksha, where this is a contemporary example. So there is this couple, wife and husband. The wife, she has started in Krishna consciousness and she is very sincere. So, but the husband is not. So he's a meat eater. So but the wife is not kind of like complaining. She is very much tolerant, and she in fact starts. She's not hesitant to cook non-veg for him also. So she continues practicing Krishna consciousness on her own on one side, and also continues doing this for the husband in a mood of service. So over a period of 2 years, the husband realizes how much amount of love the wife has for him, and that transforms him. And we heard that in fact both of us are right now devotees chanting 16 rounds, and if correct, they're both initiated as well. So this is one thing that we felt like sharing. Thank you.
Wow, that was powerful. Thank you very much. You got Krishna points too. Because in this scenario, which is a true story, the wife didn't see the husband as a burden. She just accepted it somehow as Krishna's mercy and was in a good attitude, and then she won him over. Powerful. Okay. This next group here. The Vishaka group.
So our scenario is, if a man is in good consciousness, he consults with his religious wife, and as a result of this consultation, with intelligence, one advances in his ability to estimate the value of life. In other words, if one is fortunate enough to have a good conscientious wife, he can decide by mutual consultation that human life is meant for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter, 27th verse, 27th chapter, 6th verse.
Thank you, sir. So one of the scenario that we came up with example was, suppose the family, I mean, it's coming from the examples that we have experienced with witnessing many devotees going through financial crisis where the husband either doesn't have a job or lose a job or whatever, for whatever reason, the job comes to a seeming halt for some time or volunteer, whatever. And in that situation, the interaction between the wife and the husband happening, and the court speaks about the religious nature of the wife in that sense. And then one of the example that we were thinking of was that you know, how that when it brings, so in that situation of crisis is the time when the qualities, individual qualities of both of them comes up, and then the mutual cooperation takes place, and then even the quality of wife to be self-regulated and the ability to be able to contract her needs and not impose her own insecurities and needs or things on the husband, and trusting that ultimately Krishna is maintaining our family in one, it may not be through the same paycheck or the same source but a different source, and staying in that unknown area but trusting the responsibility of the husband and not imposing her needs on him, and then mutually then they can come up with you know, and they the situation was more of like, then they become more mutually dependent upon Krishna and not put their own needs on the other person, or you know, that kind of a scenario. It gives husband a lot of space to decide what's best for the for him and for the family. And yeah,
Hare Krishna. And I like that one too, because Prabhupada said that a wise man will consult with his intelligent wife. It's a very important point. Not to say, oh, she's a woman, what does she know? You know, like that. Sometimes that happens. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Okay. We must all become ideal in, you know, character, and then people will be very impressed with such a purity. Oh, sorry. Here we go again. We must all become ideal in our character, and then people will be very impressed with such a purity. Letter to Batu Gopal. 2173. Whatever it means.
So, we were discussing qualities of gratitude and being an example, and melting the hearts and amplifying or exemplifying what we've received through how we respond to situations. And one example that came up was actually through His Holiness Rompad Maharaj. He was at a university campus distributing books, and there were some antagonistic students that had come by. And one of them became so forceful that he actually threw the book table over. So all of Srila Prabhupada's books went flying all over. And the response from him was, he just gently picked up the table, started setting the books back. And some of these other students that he was, that this very antagonistic student was with, were so moved by that very humble example that they too started helping to put the table back together and actually apologized for his friend's behavior.
Thank you very much. So that purity wins out. Okay, let's see. Here we go.
Okay, so our scenario is Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj spoke gravely to a newly married man. A Vaishnava wife is extremely rare and difficult to find in this world. If one has the good fortune of having one, he should see it as a benediction from Krishna. The wife worships the husband as her lord and master. Similarly, the husband should worship the wife because she is Krishna's dasi, a servant of Krishna. In that way, the husband can protect his devotional enthusiasm by not considering his wife to be his maid servant, but she is always the maid servant of Krishna. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Samadhis in Vrindavan, 2003.
Hare Krishna. So the real life example that we thought of was, I actually knew a pair of now devotees who, before they were devotees, they used to argue a lot, and then they came into Krishna consciousness and they still were arguing, but then what changed in terms of the arguing that they were able to come to a solution is when the husband realized that he needed to start seeing her as a servant of Krishna, and she also started seeing him as a servant of Krishna, and that together they were serving Krishna. So whatever their problem, they could come to a solution if they thought of Krishna together. So they still have arguments, I know for a fact, but they're able to solve them a lot quicker, or now I realize probably the wording is they're able to manage them. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. And sometimes it's, you know, even healthy couples have arguments, but it's the way they do it. Sometimes, there's disagreement, you two individual people. But as long as that respect is there and that consideration is there and that forgiveness is there, it's a good point. Okay.
Hare Krishna. The scenario we have is, the principle is that when one becomes grihastha, he must live perfectly in that order, which means he must live peacefully with his wife and children. So we just thought of some things that a husband can do to be more peaceful in a grihastha life. One of that is that basically to keep Krishna in the center and do the aratis and read Prabhupada's books and chant together with the wife. That actually builds a good relation between wife and husband to be more peaceful. One thing also we thought is that we should do activities with the kids that are more Krishna conscious activities, like involving them in some music so that both wife and husband and the children can do Krishna activities together. That also brings peace and togetherness between the family. And also support the spouse in their own endeavors. Some of them that are easy for us could be hard for the spouse or the other way. So being more supportive. These are some of the things we discussed. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I think we have one more over here. Speaking of arguments, right?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So we have got Prabhupada's quote from morning walk, March 27, 1974. This is the scenario. Although we fought, but there was no such thing. Fighting is natural. This is fight of love. This is not fight. Therefore, Chanakya Pandita has said, neglect this fighting. Don't take it seriously. Dhambatye kalahe bhambarampe lagukriya. This should not be. Quarrel between husband and wife should not be taken seriously. Let them fight. It will stop automatically. That's all. So we have a play to demonstrate this.
Varsana, I'm getting late. I have just 15 minutes. Is the prasadam ready?
Oh, I remember you mentioned about your meeting. I am so sorry. Last night was really rough. Govinda woke up like 4 times last night and I am so sorry, the prasadam. You know what? I think I can fix something for you in half an hour. How about that?
I just have 15 minutes to start. Can you fix something quickly?
How about some milk?
What do you think? I'm the kid?
How about... I think I have some bananas. How about that?
Can you fix me at least a sandwich?
Prabhu, I think... You know what? I think I have to just change his diaper. So please, can you do something on your own?
What? You think you're busy? You think I don't have anything else to take care of?
What do you mean? I've been working the whole day and you do you not appreciate that? I wake up early in the morning, take care of the children, take them out to the library and the park, and I cook and I clean and I take care of your clothes and I... and I get to hear this from you and not even a word of appreciation?
What do you think? I'm simply sitting idle and just passing time. Am I not working from morning till evening just for you and the kid?
Okay, just give me a moment. Hey, Krishna. Okay, I really do appreciate what you bring home. It is your hard work which... It's the moolah that you bring home that runs the home. And I appreciate the little things that you do for me. But right now, I don't think I'm in a position. But I believe I do have some solution. I think in the oven there is some granola. You can take it with some milk this morning. Will that do? I know you don't like cold cereal. You like something spicy and hot. But can you manage for this morning?
But I think that should be okay. Thank you so much. Sorry, I was really tensed up because of the meeting. And I was like... kind of crazy, pouring all that upon you. I'm really sorry. I do appreciate and all that you do. And thanks to Krishna.
And good luck with your meeting. So I said, good luck with his meeting. And so I think we are done. Our solution is that he's going to have the cold cereal with milk and be gone for today. And be happy for today.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you.
So does the last group, is yours a skit of sorts? I see you all passing it around. Somebody's got to take the job.
Hare Krishna. So the quote that we had was from a letter to Garga Muni on January 1st, 1968. We should learn to forget and forgive minor incidents because whenever there are two people in a place, there is always some misunderstanding.
We just thought about like a small example kind of thing. First of all, like say wife has a birthday and husband purchases gift for her, and due to some other service or something in the morning, he just forgets to wish and even give the gift, goes to office, and somehow then things come up and then it becomes a huge thing. And then when the conversation goes on and the both finds that we cannot control the situation and it's going out of hand, and then they, you know, stop talking. And then my husband might think, okay, I'm also feeling upset. But it's not solving problem, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, like, amanina manadana. So I'm expecting man in this case. So how is it resolving this? So probably I'll have to cool down. And then, once the person thinks, and he thinks, okay, in Bhagavanam says that when two persons are together, you know, always there will be differences. So we should always expect those differences. So how to resolve that? So then the other hearing comes into picture. Like always we hear mostly like the problems are basically husbands thinks that wife doesn't listen and wife thinks that husbands don't care. So the idea comes in mind. So then the husband and wife talks together and say, okay, these things may be small issue, but it seems like there is some deeper issue. So can you this boil down this fact quickly? Probably do you think this is the case that you think I don't care, or I feel like you don't listen. So does it fall in that category? So obviously that will be that category in most of the cases. So then things get sorted out. Then both of husband and wife decides that, okay, we'll try to solve those problems by improving our weak areas. Probably this cannot get solved so quickly, but we can work in that direction. Probably that will help us. So, thank you. Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you very much. So give yourselves a hand. That was awesome, everybody. That was very good. So the one thing that we want to always do is to make our Krishna conscious lives practical. Like, we have the theory, we have the books, we should act a certain way, we should think a certain way. But how do we practically do that is going to be very crucial for us as growing devotees and as a thriving community. So that's why we wanted you all to do that little exercise, and you did awesome. So thank you. And just a little bit more. Everybody has an index card and an ink pen, right? So pretty soon we're going to tell you what to do with that. But hold on.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We want to remind you and share with you a little bit more about the Grihastha Vision Team. We have a book here, Heart and Soul Connection, that have most of our pictures on the back of it. It's 13 of us. Three are missing on the picture here. And
all three of those were the ones that on the...
No. Number three, what I was asking her. We have three of our members that have been asked to be a part of the GBC, the Governing Body Commission. And so they're very active. You know, Tamahar is one. Paharna is another. And Anutama. Anutama. When I first... met and saw Anutama, and he did a small presentation. But in that presentation, I say the ISKCON community is in good hands with people like him in the community. My first time I met him, I liked what I saw of him. So we have this book, Heart and Soul Connections. It's sold in different parts of the world. There are negotiations to get it printed in other languages, because you know we have a large number of Chinese and Russians who are Hare Krishnas, and they are not English speaking so much, and so it has to be translated to make it more comfortable for them to read. So pray for us on that effort, and even Italian.
Brazilian.
And Brazilian. So what are some of the things that we want you to do? We want you to buy the book and have to where we have to keep ordering and reprinting it over and over again. It really is a book that can be used for the general public, and we have thoughts about how that we can make it more direct for the general public. So pray for us on that. I've used it out in the larger community, and it's just how you use the topics, and the topics are sound. The material in there is sound. It's usable. So if you have friends in the community, you can take that book and talk to them about the principles step by step, and they will understand what you're talking about. So we have retreats, a couple of retreats. In fact, one is due here in September.
Don't forget to get a flyer.
So we have flyers for everyone, I believe. You take at least one flyer. We don't mind if you make 100 copies of it and pass it among your friends and neighbors. We have pamphlets that you can download when you go on the website, which is Vaishnava Family Resources.org. And we do have from time to time the physical pamphlet. And so another thing we can use is donations to sponsor a pamphlet or however you want to do it. The more you look at what we're doing and see how you can assist, there are many ways you can assist. Well, another way you can assist, if you can identify couples in your community that look like they are sound and healthy couples that we can train with techniques to how they can work with couples and work and teaching them various techniques that they can use in, and skills that they can use in their marriage, or if they're thinking about getting married, then if you identify, then we'll make an effort to give them some training that can point out to them the skills so they would have it in their head, in their practice. We'll work with them to practice. We have some parenting courses, one of parenting for the 21st century. And my wife, this morning, she got the inspiration to bring two of the notebooks on parenting in the 21st century. And when she got here, someone said, I'd been meaning to contact you because I want to get that course because I want to teach it. And she said, now I know why I was inspired to bring two of those books. Those books are being sold in different parts of the country because not only do we work, my wife and I, not only do we work in the Vaishnava community directly, we work in the larger community. We do a lot of work in the larger community. So we have things to offer them, and that's one of them, parenting in the 21st century. Go ahead. No, I'm not finished, almost. Want me to finish first?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the strengthening the bonds that free us, have anyone taken that course? Strengthening the bonds that free us. Now, you got at least two I saw hands up. Three back there. So, that can normally be a four-day course. It can even be stretched a couple more days. So it's very detailed. Every now and then we'll shorten it up, but you really lose a lot. So you can look into that as to how we can have that course in your city or your town, and you can talk to others who have taken the course. In fact, it's four here, and get their opinion. Is this really helping you? Because if you're not really helping them, you don't want it in your city, right? So it's really helping them. And we need the Skype. I should say that first. Chris Nandini and I, we do a lot of work on Skype. Some of our other Grass Division team members also. So even though sometimes it's difficult to come somewhere, for one couple, you don't have to do that with this modern technology. We just get on our, modern phone systems and computer systems, and we can see each other, and we can interact with each other, and we can teach most of the skills that are right in that method. Now, we do have some things that if you're right there, they're more effective, if you're right there. But for the most part, we can do that. And we do that with a lot of couples all over in the United States, Canada, and elsewhere. So we need a succession plan, as was spoken of earlier. And our succession plan is going to definitely depend on some of you all as to how much of a kinship you feel that something you would want to do in your life is to be a marriage educator. Hopefully, there's some of you that kind of may think about that. And you may go and get as much education on the outside world as you can get. You may come to different courses that we have. You may let us train you in what our skills are about. You will read this book, Heart and Soul Connections, because if you just study that one book alone, you will be able to help a lot of couples. Heart and Soul Connection. So on that note, the last thing is donate to assist us. We are, how would I say it? It's not like we have a lot of money. I mean, do I look like I have a lot of money? No.
They can't tell.
Oh, she said they can't tell. Well, when you see the hole in my pocket, you'll see. So we are earnest in what we're doing. And some of you, I don't know if some of you even in this audience, yes, some of you in this audience, I do remember some of you in this audience have made sure that we could do the next thing we were trying to do. And so some of you are more, have more, not assets, what would you call it? Facilities. You have more money. You got money that you can make sure something happens in your community, as some have done. And that's your donation and your charity. And it would help us move around. We do move around a lot, and it does cost us a lot of money and more sometimes than what we actually have, all of us, not just Chris Andini and I. It's, like I said before, it's 13 of us. 10 of us are a little bit more active in doing this because the other three are on assignment. So again, if you could find a way to either study how to be a teacher of some of these principles, you don't have to be anything professional, but know and understand the principle and share it with someone. And if you can help thinking one day, maybe I can take up this work as a, what do you call it, as a commitment?
Yeah.
As a commitment, and you'll help a lot of people, and you'll feel better when you sleep at night. Thank you. Peace be unto you.
So, with the thank you, Mr. Z, with the card that you have, we want you to just write down one thing that you're going to take away from this seminar. Just one thing on the card, and put a date on it. That's it.
Oh, she says you're going to write down one thing you're taking away from the seminar, and you're going to keep that card and remind yourself, I did learn this thing, so I should practice it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll say thank you all and have a Krishna conscious life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.